that leads me right into where we're going to go. Hopefully that'll stay. It's probably going to go bloop and boom and all kinds of stuff. But as we go, we are going to be going into our word. Are we good, guys? Awesome. So that means that we are up, we are online, and we are getting the word of God out there, which is one of the commands that we are given in Christ Jesus. The first command is to love God. The second command is to love others. Let's sound a little bit more enthused. The first one is
love.
The second one is
love.
And the third one is
go.
Very good. We'll get a little bit more enthused about the going as time goes. But right now, I want us to think about where we left off last week as we are continuing in this study, as we are continuing in this teaching of the one another's of the scriptures in the books of the New Testament. And last week, we left off at the Ephesians, which is halfway down through your page. And we're going to be picking up on Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through verse 5. So you can turn there in your scriptures if you would, please. I want to wrap this thing up and look at these last pieces of the one another's of humility and how God teaches us to love one another through the practical aptitude of these one another's. And in Philippians, in the second chapter, if you look at verse 3, you will read these words. And the Lord says, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. As you think about that word, you know, one of the things that I want us to understand is God's not saying throw out your needs. God's not saying throw out your desires, okay? There's a lot of people out there who believe that if you're truly a Christian, you need to be living in poverty, you need to give away everything you have. That's not what God asks us here. Because if you look at verse 4, it says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests. So we are to have a stake in our own lives. We are to understand that the things God gives us, the things that he brings into our lives, are here to help us live our lives and help our children and to be productive in this world that we may then work with others, okay? Because if you don't have anything to provide, are you any good to anybody else? Absolutely not. So God here is telling us he'll take care of our needs so that we can then take care of the needs of others. God wants to use us. That's what this is telling us. God wants us to be available to him to affect other people in real time. So many people, and I'm talking Christians, they'll say to me, Pastor, you know, you talk about God talking to you all the time and you hear his voice, and I've never heard his voice. I beg to differ with you. Most of us have heard his voice. We just attribute it to, well, I have a conscience. Well, guess what? In a Christian, 90% of your self-consciousness is the Holy Spirit working in and through you. Now, when your self-conscience tells you to do something that is not the will of God, who's talking to you? And don't say the devil. You are talking to yourself. Okay? That's where you need to throw up arms and say, oh my goodness, there comes the old Eva. Oh my goodness, there comes the old Rick. He's still there, isn't he? Underneath and not far, right? But through the power of the Holy Spirit, the new has come. And we need to think of others more so than ourselves. So we need to look at what we have, taking care of our family, making sure all their needs are met, and then meeting the needs of others around us and understanding that we're supposed to be part of their lives. Understanding that we're supposed to be different than the world. I think it's amazing because when you walk down the street, how many people will walk up to you and purposely say, "Hey, how are you doing today?" and not know you? How many of you, when you saw Pastor for the first time this morning, said, "Who is that?" Because this is the first time in over 20 years I have shaved my face. I didn't know who I was when I looked in the mirror. That's pretty bad. But hey, the old is gone and the new has come. And I think it's funny because I did not plan to have that as part of the service, but it just hit me. Because God's in control. I thought I messed up shaving my beard. God knew what he was doing. He wanted to show us that from within the very person, there's a new person waiting to come out. Are we going to allow that new person to come out? Because I'll guarantee you right now, how many of you looked at Pastor and it was like, something's weird. Some of you, it took 5 or 10 minutes before you were like, "Oh, he shaved his beard." It took me 3 seconds. I'm shaving my beard. But when we think about how others are going to be affected by this new person, it's because God is reconciling us back to himself, that we can love him once again. And through loving him, we can love others. But we have to humble ourselves to love others, because to love someone means they're more important than you, doesn't it? Isn't that what Christ showed us? Because he showed us the highest level of love that could ever be attained, which was death on the cross. God himself died for us, that we may know life. But he doesn't stop there. God says there's more. So we look, and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you also are doing." If you're not doing that right now, you need to begin doing that. We need to begin or continue in this sense of building one another up. In this scripture, Paul was talking about the Thessalonian church, and in Thessalonica, he had to leave abruptly, okay? And we're learning that now, right? That's it. That's our adult Bible study, okay? And it's so amazing. When I say adult Bible study, that's the one that meets every first and third Wednesday of the month here at NCCS. How many of you had no idea we had an adult Bible study that meets the first and third Wednesday of every... That's a shameless plug to get you in there, okay? That's what that is. Because what we found out was Paul was so inundated with just turmoil coming after him that so as not to hurt this church that had just started up, he left. Because he didn't want to break the church. He wanted the church to thrive. And he figured if he leaves, a lot of the pressure will come off of them. But Paul sent letters and he sent emissaries back to encourage them and to lift them up and to build them up because they were discouraged. But what he found out was the fact that even after he left, they continued in their faith. And that's what we need to do, continue in our faith, to encourage one another. I need to ask a question. How many of you here today have faced something since the beginning of the year? How many of you have faced something since Monday? No. How many of you have faced something since Friday that discouraged you? Brothers and sisters, all we have to do is wake up in the morning and our world wants to discourage us. Because there is one who is in charge of this world who does not want us to be effective in our witness. And that one will do everything he can to drive us down. But that's where we need to come together and lift one another up, encourage one another. When we see a brother or sister down, when we see a brother or sister who's broken, we're going to walk over to that brother and sister and kick them. That'll teach you. I'll tell you right now, how many of you have felt like that? Like when you're down, everybody wants to kick you. Everybody wants to poke at you. The body of Christ is supposed to be different. And by God, and I do mean that, by God, we are through the power of the Holy Spirit because he's transformed us. We're no longer stuck in this world where we are filled with sin. We have been freed from that stuff, and we are now able to love unconditionally because the Spirit of God, who is unconditional love itself, is in us and empowering us. So let us build one another up. I want to know where you're hurting. Not because I'm nosy or I want to talk about you, but because I want to carry your burden. I want to help you walk this road. I need help walking this road. And if I'm on good terms and you're on bad terms, if I help you out right now, guess what you're going to do with me when I'm on bad terms? You're going to encourage me. And do you know that happens so often in our lives? That's why Paul says here, as you are also doing. Because he knows the church was encouraging one another. He knows it was happening, but he needs us to do it all the more. The next one, James 5 and 16. This is one we have a problem with, okay? This is one that gets a little hairy sometimes. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. That's one of the hardest things that we have to do, is confess our sins one to another. Why is that? Because it means we need to be vulnerable and transparent, doesn't it? And if we are vulnerable and transparent, that means somebody can hurt us, doesn't it? Because that's what being vulnerable means. It means you are letting down your guard and you are letting people in. How many of us have been hurt by someone in the church? You can raise your hands. I'm not ashamed to say it. It happens all the time. Why? Because the church is still a work in progress. Each and every one of us still has the old dog in there barking louder and louder and louder. And the good dog's just sitting there obedient, being quiet. Because that's what a good dog does. But we have to remember to ignore that noisy dog. Because he needs to go away. And we need to nurture that quiet dog. Love that quiet dog, and allow him to thrive. We need to seriously be there for one another, building relationships, because that's what this is talking about. Missy, can you confess to just anybody your sins? You have to kind of trust them, don't you? So that means you have to invest some time with them, doesn't it? That's called trust and relationship. I think that's what God wants from us. How can you have a relationship with God? How can you trust God if you don't know him? We can't. So God says, spend time. No, invest time with me. Read my word. Pray with me. Come away with me. I just got away for two wonderful days. Most of you had no idea I was gone. The way I know that is because people were still trying to call me and get a hold of me, and that's cool when I'm not here and you're trying, because I'm gone relaxing and just having a time where I get refreshed. And it was so amazing because one of us was in a place where there was no rest, there was turmoil, and there was everything. All the work was left on their shoulders. And they put together a service. Y'all know who I'm talking about now, don't you? And she said, "Pastor, I know it's Pentecost, but I went in a different direction and I omitted Pentecost in the service. My week's been upside down and this is where my heart is." I opened up the service that she sent me and I said, "Wait a minute. You omitted Pentecost? Huh? He's all over these pages. I changed two words, rearranged some stuff, and put a different song in, and boom, we got a Pentecost service that was so amazing that it thrilled my soul. Because one was in need, and the other came along and lifted up. And she wasn't afraid to tell me what was going on. Am I going to tell you? No, it's none of your business." And how do you feel today, Miss Sally? Did God touch you this morning? That's called healing. That's called healing. Say that. That's called healing. When the Holy Spirit touches you and gives you peace. Ooh, that was timely. We're going to wait until that stops. And for those of you on the internet, what you're hearing now is the temporary interruption that we get sometimes, which causes us to pray for whomever that alarm is for. Amen? And for the men and women who are going out to serve that alarm. It's not done. I told you so. One more cycle, and amen. So therefore, let us confess our sins one to another. When you have a place that you're struggling, don't be afraid to seek out someone that you have found a relationship with and talk to that person. Let them know where you're struggling. And then through that other person can pray with you and help bring the peace of Jesus Christ back into your life. If you're stuck on a sin, if you're stuck on something that has you held, and it may not even be a sin. Folks, let's face it. How many times can you be walking in Christ and you're doing really good? You know what I mean? You're doing really good. You know, you haven't cussed anybody out in the car, you know. You haven't told anybody they're number one lately, all right? You haven't argued with the spouse. You know, it's been a good couple of days. And then all of a sudden, you go out to get in your car, and there's a flat tire. And you lose it. Sometimes you need to call somebody and let them know that, "I was doing so good, and I got a flat tire. I don't know why God's doing this to me." Number one, God's not doing it to you. It's this world and the sin that we brought into this world which creates death and things fall apart. And there are people there to help us if we will reach out. You have to reach out. Do you know why the prayer of a righteous man availeth much? Because you have extended your faith to somebody else who extends their faith back, and God acts because faith has been activated and healing comes. Next one. 1 Peter 4:9 says, "Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." You know, I think this one is really kind of cute because there's a whole lot of us here who know we have spiritual gifts, and that's actually one of the places I'm trying to determine if that's where God wants us to go over the summer months, is looking at the spiritual gifts and then taking a spiritual gifts inventory. How many of you would be interested in knowing what your spiritual gifts are? How many of you think you know what they are? That'll help a little bit for me here in a little while. One of the things that I think is amazing about this is there are so many of us that we will help out a brother or sister, okay? Things are going, and then the next thing I know, I get this phone call. why is everybody coming to me? And right now, there's a couple of you that think, oh, he's talking about me. Yes, I am, but it's not just one of you. There are several of you, and you know who you are. How would you like to be pastor? This is funny. We just got a new telephone service, okay? And normally, I answer every phone call because I have no idea who was calling. We didn't have caller ID. Well, now I have caller ID. So when I look and it says Spam National, I know I don't have to take that call, right? Well, in doing that, it also activated another feature of my phone. It allows me to know how many phone calls I've missed. And according to the latest poll, because I clear it every day, in the last 2 days, I've not cleared it. And in 2 days, I missed 25 phone calls. How many of those phone calls were people wanting to get a hold of me for reasons unknown? The awesome thing is, generally, when I see it says Charles Gomer, because that's what it comes up when you call, I pick that right up. Hello. Okay? But when it comes through private number, I have no idea who that is, and guess what? I can screen that call now. I don't have to pick it up because I don't know who you are. And if it's somebody I want to talk to, I get to pick it up. But guess what? As a pastor, when I screen my phone calls, as soon as I see or hear it's one of you, it's picked up. Guess how many phone calls pastor gets a week? I'm going to look to my wife. How many times does our phone ring during a normal day? Did you hear that? When she's home, it rings about 10 times. And it is so amazing because I know there are days where she and I will look at each other and say, well, so-and-so is going to be calling in about a half an hour. And they do. You see, it's my job to listen. It's my job to be hospitable without complaint. And that's where I want you folks to look at it. When people are coming to you and they're looking to you, what do they see? The amazing thing is they see God in you. So why are you complaining? Be God to them. And you know you're not God, right? We all know we're not God. But that means love them. Show compassion to them. Give understanding. Does that mean you have to have all the answers, Matt? In fact, normally I don't have any of them. I just need to listen. How many of you ladies like that thought? Oh, there's a man who's just going to listen. I just got one back there that said, yeah, right. But we need to do it without complaint. That when someone is asking us to give of our giftedness, give and give and give. God's going to fill you back up, amen? And guess what? You just may have the gift that somebody else needs. And because somebody gave to you, now you're enabled to give your gift to somebody else. Let's move on. Last one. 1 Peter 5 and 5. It says, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. To me, that reminds me of the book of Proverbs. It says, pride goeth before the fall. Amen. And we need to understand, God wants us not to be proud, but God wants us to be humble of heart, looking to one another, to love one another, to serve one another. Because as we love God, and we allow Him to serve us, because I hate to tell you this, folks, you can't serve God. If you think I'm up here right now serving God, you're wrong. Because God does not need any one of us. Can I get an amen? But God chooses to use fools such as I to bring forth his word. He's already God. He's put the word out there. We just exemplify it one to another. And that's what we're all supposed to do. And remember, God is working in and through you to be God in our world, to show Christ to our world, the reason we have for being. You know, I think it's a horrible thing when I see Christians who are frowning all the time, because I really need you to tell your face that there's joy in your heart because Jesus Christ has set you free. How much would the world be changed if we walked around with a smile? See my dimples? Couldn't see them with the beard on. Then with a frown. God wants us to remember that humility is not a bad thing. It's actually a gracious thing. And it allows others to love us and us to love others. That ends my teaching on the one another's. But how does this stuff all fit together? To me, that's the amazing thing. And we're going to run over a little bit because I just want to end this well. If you'll look to the screen, Charles is about ready to put up some slides that take us all the way back before Lent, when we started into Lent and looking at what was going on. And this series that we began way back in Lent, it started with the seven I Am's, and then it came to the one another's, and then Brother David's sermon, which was kind of in the middle of the one another's, which truly showed us what is this all about, and that is the reconciliation of all things. Because Jesus Christ is the reconciliation of all things. Because we say this all the time. This is who we are. This is the heart of Christ Church. We are being transformed into what? The heart of Jesus Christ. Amen? Isn't that what our mission statement says? Transforming lives to the heart of Jesus Christ. How do we do that? And that's our other statement. By loving God, loving others, and going into all the world. God gave us that. And it's so easy. But how does it work out? How do we begin to love God? How do we start into this transformed life? Well, that all happens. I ain't flipping, Charles. I got it. Oh, yeah, I got it on. Flip it, Charles. That begins with the first reconciliation of Jesus Christ. Please remember, all of this stuff that we're talking about begins with the reconciliation of Christ, because at the Garden of Eden, we broke our relationship with God. We broke our relationship with each other, and thereby we broke our world. Okay? Three things happen in the book of Genesis. We stopped loving God because we hid from him because of sin. We stopped loving each other. That's when Adam and Eve started blaming, you know, oh, that was that woman you sent me. What was that serpent, you know? What happened to accountability? What happened to truth and saying, I screwed up? Do you think God would have forgiven them if they'd have said, I screwed up? I wonder, because we wouldn't be in the situation we're in now. But we also wouldn't have the forgiveness of Jesus Christ in our lives. So I know this is God's plan. So we can't look back and say, what if, what if, what if? Because so many times we want to, we have to say, as it is, let us move forward. And as we move forward, we realize that we've got to bridge that first reconciliation of loving God back. There we go. We've got to bridge that relationship of loving God with a personal relationship through the seven I Am's. Because until we know who God is, he's just a God out there somewhere. I think there's a song that says that. He isn't just a God out there somewhere. He's a God that's here right now, real with us. And he wants us to understand that I am. I am what? I am the light of the world. I am the door through which all of us have to enter. I am the bread of life. We have to partake of him if we wish to find life. He says, I am the good shepherd. He will lead us into paths of righteousness for his namesake. He says, I am the true vine. He knows God the Father, and from him cometh the Holy Spirit into our lives to give us the hope and the power to do and be, because he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through him. And finally, he is the resurrection and the life, for we were once dead and we are now alive in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And that's how we learn to love God. And we begin that transformation once again to the image that we sold for a meal and a little bit of knowledge. We had it all and we gave it away for a little bit of nothing and a whole lot of trouble. And God says, now that you're loving me, I need you to move one step further, because Jesus has come not only to reconcile us with God, but to reconcile us with one another. How many of you can go through this life by yourself? It's impossible. I don't care who you are. If you had to go through this life by yourself, and I mean by yourself, you are the only person in your life, you have no contact with anybody else, you will go nuts. We need other people. We are wired that way. That's the way God created us. He said it is not good for man to be alone. So he created Eve out of man, not out of something else, out of his initial creation, because what was needed was the same thing in a different manner. God understands that what's needed is the same thing in a different manner. We had the creation at the beginning, so now we have recreation, rebirth, being born again. And in that being born again, we can begin to love one another through the one another's of the scripture that we've just gone through, because he's teaching us to walk in unity, in love, and humility. When we see how this all works together as God empowers us from the relationship with him to the relationship with others, we begin to see and understand that everything is coming to an end. There is an end. And that end for us who are in Christ Jesus is the rapture. But the world's going to continue on for a little while into judgment. But we have to learn. That's why we're here. We are not here just simply to exist. We are here to learn, to be prepared for eternity. That by choice, we have chosen to love God because he first loved us. And we have chosen to love the unlovable things of this world. And guess what? That's each other. Okay? Just as Christ loved us. And thereby reconciling the two first broken orders. You see, on the first two, we get to work with God on them. But on the third one, that's God's and God's alone. Because that third one is judgment. When he cursed the world, when he cursed the earth, we can't fix it. How many of you realize we've been trying to fix it for how long? It's been called global warming. It's been called pestilence. You know, we can look at all these different things and say, oh yeah, we've been trying. How's that working for us? Whenever we try to fix this planet, all we end up doing is making matters worse. Because we're not God. And God has not begun that work yet. Because it's not time. But it is time for For now is the time of salvation. It is time for us to work on restoring our image. The image of our planet will be restored by God. And that will come as he cleanses our earth from sin. He's cleansed us already. But there are many in our world that have not been touched. That's why it's so important for us to love God and love others. Because as we love God and we love others, what's the next thing? Go. Because there's more people that need to fill these seats. And not just these seats, but all the pews in all the churches of all the world that preach the gospel. That's why Chuck and Wayne are in Nicaragua right now in the midst of time and trial. Did you hear that? Chuck just talked to him on Facebook. He's been watching our service and they're doing good. Praise the Lord. I really mean that. Praise the Lord. You see, this is what our technology allows us to do, to touch people in real time and to be touched. We are going as a congregation right here, right now. Chuck's in Nicaragua talking to us. How many people right now on the internet is God talking to through this sermon? How many people does God want to talk to through you where you are right now? Will you love God enough? And will you love one another enough to allow Christ to do the work of reconciliation in your life? Would you pray with me? Father God, now, even now, we stand, Lord, because we stand on your word and the truth therein. We sung the words earlier today, your words of life. And Lord, we know you are the only one who has the words of life. And right now, he is the Holy Spirit in our lives, empowering us to be the church of Jesus Christ, to love you as you have loved us, to love one another, even when we're miserable to one another. Because Lord, I know I can be. And I need grace. And we all need grace. So, Father, we just ask that even now, as this word is going out over the internet, that there are going to be lives out there touched by your truth, by your love, and through the reality of who you are, being the I am of our lives, and wanting that personal relationship, that we would know every aspect of you, and then taking it into our own lives and loving one another more than we love ourselves, and taking the word out and going and being the word to others. Father, as we do, we just simply ask your blessing upon us, that you would guide us as we sang earlier, that you would encourage us as we sang earlier, and that you would empower us as we sang earlier. Because those are the things we need. For we have no strength within ourselves. For left to ourselves, we would be dead. But in you, we are alive unto eternity. For it is eternity for us, even now, through your Son, who is our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And the body of Christ says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.